Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air, the passenger jet off the runway in Houston. The United Airlines flight at Bush Airport, what pilots reported just beforehand. Emergency crews rushing to the scene. The abortion showdown on Capitol Hill. The Democrats' efforts to start a process to protect Roe versus Wade, to make it federal law, fail. Senate Republicans blocking the vote, the Democratic senator joining them. Rachel Scott live on the Hill. The major headline tonight after that horrific condo collapse in Surfside, Florida that killed 98 people. Tonight, nearly $1 billion for families of the victims and survivors. The judge appearing stunned by the number, what the judge said. The newly released 911 call tonight, you can hear the capital murder suspect and that former corrections officer moments after they crash. What former officer Vicky White said before authorities say she took her life. The economy tonight, the numbers on inflation showing alarming dynamics still at play. But the question, have we reached the peak with record high gas prices and what President Biden announced today when it comes to farmers? The war in Ukraine and tonight U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin now warning Vladimir Putin an attack on NATO allies is, quote, a fight he really doesn't want to have. Ian Pannell in Ukraine tonight. The dire new warning on climate, warning more than 2 billion people around the world will face water scarcity, including 160 million children. Matt Guffman reporting from Kenya tonight. The White House this evening calling for an investigation into the shooting death of a Palestinian-American journalist killed while covering a raid by the Israeli military in the West Bank. And here at home, the severe storms as we come on the air tonight. Tornado watches across several states at this hour, and we'll time this out. Also, unsettling news on that baby formula shortage, what the makers of the formula are now saying, and remembering an NBA great tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. The news from the Hill at this hour on efforts to protect Roe versus Wade, Republicans blocking the Democrats. Also, that major development, the settlement after the Surfside, Florida condo collapse. But we are going to begin tonight with that breaking headline from Houston, a passenger jet coming in for a landing, losing control, going off the runway. The plane operated by United Airlines ending up off that runway, 16 people on board, 13 passengers, and 3 crew members. What the pilots told the tower just before this happened. ABC's Maria Villarreal leading us off from Texas tonight.
The FAA says this United Express plane from Victoria, Texas, had just come in for a landing around 2:30 this afternoon at Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport when the plane lost nose wheel steering. The Bombardier CRJ-200 rolling off the runway and onto the grass.
It looks like there's a plane in the grass that landed in front of us.
Authorities say there were no injuries among the 13 passengers and 3 crew on board.
These are the captains of the aircraft, so they're United Express aircraft here off the runway. We need to somehow to get out of here. The passengers are fine in the back. There are no damages of any kind.
Those passengers bussed to the terminal as ground crews moved in to inspect the jet.
David, that runway is now shut down while crews work to get the plane off the runway so the FAA can now come in and investigate exactly what went wrong. David?
Unsettling for those passengers for sure. Maria Villarreal tonight. Maria, thank you. In the meantime, to Capitol Hill at this hour and the showdown across this country over abortion. Tonight, efforts by Democrats in the Senate to begin the process of protecting Roe versus Wade with a federal law failing. Republicans blocking them, along with a Democratic senator. The Democrats knew they didn't have the numbers, but they wanted every senator on the record on this. Rachel Scott on the Hill tonight.
Tonight, Democrats forcing a vote to safeguard abortion rights.
All of us will have to answer for this vote for the rest of our time in public office.
With the Supreme Court likely to overturn Roe versus Wade, Democrats say it's just the beginning.
They are coming after your birth control. They are coming after Plan B and IUDs. And right here in the Senate, they are talking about a federal abortion ban, a federal abortion ban.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell recently said it is possible Republicans could pass a federal abortion ban if they win back Congress. Today, he called the Democrats' bill radical.
This bill would take us to an even more extreme and darker place.
The bill would make abortion rights outlined in Roe versus Wade federal law. It would also override state laws banning abortion before 24 weeks and abolish state restrictions like mandatory ultrasounds and waiting periods. Those provisions convincing Democratic Senator Joe Manchin to join every single Republican in voting no.
It wipes 500 state laws off the books. It expands abortion. And with that, that's not where we are today.
The motion is not agreed to.
Tonight, with Vice President Kamala Harris presiding, the Democrats' bill defeated.
Let's get to Rachel Scott live on the Hill tonight. Rachel, even with Democrat Joe Manchin joining Republicans today, I know Manchin did indicate that he might support a pared-down bill, which would simply make the protections of Roe versus Wade federal law. You have reported here that Republican Senators Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins have proposed a bill with those basic protections as well. So for folks keeping track of this at home, is it possible this goes anywhere? Because even they have differences, don't they?
Exactly, David. Not quite here. The two sides do still seem to be very far apart. Republican Senator Susan Collins wants protections for providers who may not want to perform abortions for religious reasons. Well, Senator Joe Manchin says he does not support that. The bottom line here is even if they did get on the same page, they would still be far short of the votes that they need to get legislation passed, David.
Rachel Scott, live up on the Hill again for tonight. Thank you, Rachel. Now to the breaking headline late today, the massive settlement in the collapse of the Surfside condo near Miami. Families of the victims now agreeing to nearly $1 billion to compensate them for their loss in life and property. The judge stunned by the number, what the judge said. You'll remember the collapse nearly 1 year ago. The plaintiffs arguing the building was flawed and construction next door played a part as well. The bodies of 98 people were found beneath the debris. Tonight, reaction from the families now coming in. And here's ABC's Victor Akendo.
Tonight, the surprise $1 billion settlement for the families and survivors of the Surfside building collapse. The $997 million announcement made today in a Florida courtroom. Miami-Dade Circuit Judge Michael Hansman saying, "I'm speechless. That's incredible news." In a class action lawsuit, the families argued that the poor construction and maintenance of the Champlain Tower South turned catastrophic with the development of a new luxury tower next door. Owners and insurers of that building had consistently denied any responsibility. It's been nearly a year since the tragic collapse that killed 98 people. Last June, as family members searched for loved ones, David spoke with Michael Noriega, who showed him photos of his 92-year-old grandmother, Hilda.
She was the most loving person that I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, she lived for her family, and I'll venture to say that she lives for her family. She was absolutely giving, and she was just the type of person that was the epitome of almost a perfect grandmother. She just loved us very, very, very dearly.
I can see your strength, and I gather your grandmother is partly responsible for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
His grandmother did not survive. Tonight, the Noriega family telling ABC News they are still processing their loss.
Now, this settlement is still pending final approval. The judge says he wants everything finalized by the one-year anniversary. That's on June 24th, with payments made to the victims and the families who once lived here, the site of the Champlain Tower South, by the fall. David?
We'll never forget all those families there on the scene, Victor. Thank you. We turn now to the economy and your money tonight. New numbers on inflation tonight still painfully high. The consumer price index 8.3% higher compared to a year ago, but down slightly from the month before, from the 8.5% in March. Those inflation pressures, though, remain strong. Gas prices hitting a new record high. President Biden visiting Illinois today, pledging to help America's farmers to bring down food prices. Here's ABC's chief business and economics correspondent Rebecca Jarvis tonight.
Tonight, inflation's grip on American consumers not letting up. That latest report from the government out today showing prices climbed 8.3% in April from a year ago. Slower than March's 8.5% increase, but still at historic highs. At this California food bank, Adele feeling stretched thin.
You go in the grocery store right now and everything is sticker shock. Meat, eggs, everything, everything.
Food prices now climbing for 17 consecutive months. Eggs up 23%. Chicken up 16, milk up 15% from a year ago. Tonight, President Biden proposing help for America's farmers.
We have to keep investing in our farmers to reduce the cost, to reduce prices to consumers, and have the most productive, most efficient farmers in the world here in the United States.
Meantime, gasoline prices up 44%, rents up 5%. and airfares up a whopping 33%. The inflation eating into wages. Even after significant wage increases up 5.5% over the last year, prices are still moving faster.
People feel like they're chasing a moving target because they're not keeping up.
David, while the jobs market and consumer spending remain strong, odds are increasing of a recession with these elevated prices. Goldman Sachs putting the risk at 35%, that probability over the next 24 months. David?
Yeah, potentially some difficult months ahead, Rebecca. Thank you. Now to the newly released 911 call tonight from the moments after that 11-day manhunt for an Alabama murder suspect and the former corrections officer who helped him escape after that manhunt ended. Tonight, Casey White, now back in Alabama, he's facing new charges now. And the coroner confirming that Vicky White took her own life. And what they said in that car picked up on that call after the chase. Here's Alex Perez.
Tonight, for the first time, we're hearing the dramatic 911 call from inside the speeding car of Alabama fugitives Vicky White and Casey White. Vicky's voice in those final seconds before their 11 days on the run came to a chaotic end in Evansville, Indiana.
911. Hello?
Authorities believe the call may have been inadvertently placed. The former corrections officer, who police say orchestrated Casey's escape, never responds to the operator, but is heard suggesting they ditch the car.
Airbags are going off. Let's get out. Run.
Police body cam video moments later showing the mangled, overturned vehicle.
We could hear her on the line saying she had her finger on the trigger.
Authorities say that as they closed in, the 17-year law enforcement veteran shot herself, later dying at the hospital. Officers dragging capital murder suspect Casey from that car, surrounding and handcuffing the 6'9", 38-year-old.
Casey, did you kill Vicky White?
Overnight, the escaped convict in bright yellow prison garb extradited to Alabama, appearing before a judge and charged with escape in the first degree. And tonight, questions remain about why Vicky White, who had an exemplary career in corrections, would herself become a criminal.
I think Vicky White was probably dreading having to come back and face her family and friends after what she'd done.
And David, in attendance at that late night court hearing, the family of Connie Ridgway, the woman that Casey White is accused of murdering. Authorities are still working to figure out if White could face additional charges related to the escape. David?
Alex Perez tonight back in Indiana. Thank you, Alex. Tonight, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin with a new warning for Vladimir Putin. Secretary Austin before Congress saying Putin doesn't want a conflict with NATO, saying this is a fight he doesn't want. Here's our senior foreign correspondent Ian Panel in Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, again tonight.
Tonight, U.S. Defense Secretary Austin warning Vladimir Putin any attack on NATO allies would be a game changer.
This is a fight that he really doesn't want to have.
On the ground, Ukrainian troops liberating more than 30 villages around Kharkiv and driving the Russians towards their own border.
We're seeing increasing signs of Ukrainian forces on the offensive, pushing the Russians back, taking more and more villages across this region.
Stary Saltiv is one of the liberated areas. And as the Russians retreat, these graphic images reveal a gruesome catalogue of death and devastation. A convoy of civilian vehicles trying to flee the village destroyed. Evidence children were here too. A Ukrainian commander says they were shot at with an automatic weapon. One car was hit with a shell. There were quite a few people killed, he says, including children. Today we met people fleeing Pitomnik, a village near Kharkiv only just liberated, exhausted and traumatized by 75 days under Russian occupation. Olga, you've lived through one war. What has this war been like for you? It's terrible, she says, very frightening. 92, afraid, and today, Olga became homeless too.
Well, the House passing new $40 billion in additional military, economic and humanitarian aid to Ukraine. This is now going to go to the Senate, where it's expected to pass swiftly, and then to the President's desk to sign. Zelensky tonight expressing his gratitude to the United States. David?
All right, Ian Panel in Ukraine again tonight. Thank you, Ian. Back here at home, and we turn now to our ABC News reporting on the climate crisis. This evening, a dire new report on land turning to desert across the globe. In fact, warning that this year alone, more than 2.3 billion people will face water scarcity, including 160 million children. ABC's Matt Gutman reporting from Kenya, and a warning tonight, the images are difficult.
These days, it's all they eat.
All you eat all day is this?
Ikiru, who's about 10, says it's been this way since the rain stopped and the goats started dying. Palm fruit, so hard, they have to bash it with rocks just to get at the leathery flesh. Tonight, at least 15 million people across the sun-blasted plains of Kenya, Ethiopia, and Somalia are already on the verge of starvation, half of them children. The drought killing millions of livestock.
This is the Kosipir River in northern Kenya. 50,000 people depend on this river. Now, in a good year, I would be underwater. But this is not a good year.
Every day, Ikiru, whose name actually means rain, and his siblings, so desperate, they have to trek over 10 miles to find palm fruit. And then, 10 miles back. And in their village, with their grandmother, they spend hours harvesting the fruit's meager calories. Drought, swarms of locusts, and soaring food and fuel prices means 6 million more people will fall into hunger in the coming weeks. All while aid to the region has plummeted by 95%. We made the two-hour drive to this refugee camp, where the hospital now has a special ward for malnourished children. Admissions up 400% just the past month. Dr. Sila Monte taking us inside.
They're actually in the...
Oh, my God. The kids are so small. Mm-hmm. They're so malnourished. I didn't even see them.
Yes.
They just looked like bundles of blankets.
She estimates that 15% of these children will not survive.
Is there anything that you want, anything else they want Americans to know?
No, but I'm sad.
Help us.
Yeah.
They say help us.
David, aid groups telling me they are bracing for a famine here, worse than the one in 2011, in which more than 250,000 people died. They say it's not that the drought is that much worse this time. It's that with the war in Ukraine and with COVID, donor attention is elsewhere. So they lack the resources to keep people alive. David.
Yeah, not only the drought, but the need all over the world on this. Matt Gutman, our thanks to you. He'll have more tomorrow morning on GMA. And to learn more on how you can help these organizations working on the ground, you can go to our website, abcnews.com. In the meantime, tonight, the White House is now calling for a thorough investigation after a Palestinian-American journalist was shot and killed while covering an Israeli raid in the West Bank. Shirlene Abu Akla, an American citizen and widely known throughout the Arab world, was on assignment for Al Jazeera. In disturbing video from the incident, Abu Akla lay wounded, a colleague calling for help. Al Jazeera accusing Israeli forces of targeting the team, Israel at first blaming Palestinians for, quote, indiscriminate gunfire, but later saying it is unclear. We continue to follow the nationwide shortage of baby formula. Abbott Laboratories is now saying it could take up to 10 weeks to get formula back on store shelves. The company hoping to resume production when it restarts its plant in Michigan in about 2 weeks' time, and then 6 to 8 weeks to ship products to stores. That facility closed following a voluntary recall. We're also tracking those severe storms I mentioned at this hour. Possible tornadoes and large hail from Texas to Minnesota. Here's the zone. Tornado watches now in effect across four states, Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. We learned today that NBA Hall of Famer Bob Lanier has died. Considered one of the best centers in league history, 14 years with the Detroit Pistons and Milwaukee Bucks. Later, the NBA's global ambassador, known for his generosity and kindness. Bob Lanier was 73. When we come back, a father and the life-changing moment. You'll see what his wife told him.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally tonight, the father who finally learned about his own father. In Gatesville, Texas, you're about to witness a father's life changed forever. His wife breaking the news.
It's something good.
What?
For years, Steve Finley had searched for his birth parents, but it was a closed adoption and he couldn't find out anything. His daughter Bethany taking a DNA test and her mother telling dad what she learned.
Bethany did a little genetics test.
A mystery solved.
She found somebody.
She found somebody.
It turned out Bethany found her grandfather, her father's dad.
Okay, that means I actually got kinfolk.
He wants to talk to you.
His birth father, still alive in Colorado.
He wants to FaceTime with you. And you have sisters?
I have sisters? I have people.
He didn't even know that you existed. And he's so excited to find you.
I have people.
I have people, he said.
You have a dad.
Right here this evening.
Hi, David.
That daughter, Bethany.
It's truly been a life-changing experience. Just seeing my dad finally feel whole.
What a gift. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.